Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Goode. Our friends are seated on the davenport with sections of the newspaper, and the master of the menage seems to have come upon an article of interest, for he's reading aloud with briskness and enjoyment. Listen.
Multiple coefficients of modern business procedure. Mr. O'Slooner also touched on the variants and imponderables connected with the mercantile conduct in general. Thinking men in this day and age, he said, may be likened to the merchants of the ancient times to whom miscellaneous tenets of humanitarianism and occult perceptive considerations were in direct ratio to
that... Oh, let me read my own trash here.
What trash is that?
A little daily love story.
You would prefer to occupy your mind with childish and trivial...
Yes, anyway, I heard the kitchen door open. Is that you, Russell?
Hi, Mom.
Mr. Curtis O'Slooner said, whose words I was quoting, formerly taught mathematics in college.
Did he?
Seems to me as long as a man of his intellectual caliber is willing to surrender the fruit of his rich thought in a newspaper article, the least we can do...
What's Willie hollering about?
Something extremely vital and important, no doubt.
Yes, Willie?
Uncle Fletcher's there.
Curtis O'Slooner, of course, never says anything but nonsense. He's just a poor halfwit. Poor old Curtis O'Slooner.
Oh, yes, Vic. Where is Uncle Fletcher?
He'll be right along. He paused out in the alley a minute to speak to Mr. Razorscum.
Mr. Razorscum's in Peoria.
Oh, I mean Mr. Kneesuffer. By George, he's sure stepping around lively this evening.
Mr. Kneesuffer?
No, Uncle Fletcher. He come waltzing up the alley like rapid as a horse.
Busy with a million more details in connection with Miss Keller getting married, I bet.
Uh-huh.
Say, here's something you can understand. Human ingenuity, Mr. O'Slooner went on to say, is merely...
I don't want to understand that craziness. They agreed it to yourself.
Craziness, she calls.
What do I care about human ingenuity and trash?
Trash. Trash, she said.
Oh, here we are.
Hi.
In the living room, are we, sweetie?
Yes, everybody.
Fine.
You're not going to hold that newspaper up in front of your face and read while we got company, I don't suppose.
I have a paragraph to finish.
Put your newspaper down.
I'll put this newspaper down after I have finished this paragraph.
Who was it used the word childish a minute ago? What great big man said somebody was childish and made...
Hey, honey. Vic, honey. I know this is unforgivable, me breaking in on you in this unceremonious fashion, but matters of pressing nature intervened and made the alternative unbearable. Don't get up, Vic.
I hadn't intended to.
You people are entertaining friends this evening.
No,
and have
we're
your plans
not.
All formulated, but I assure you, I will cut this intrusion as short as possible.
No, we're not entertaining any friends this evening.
I'd like to stay and say hello to Ted and Ruthie, but I imagine I'll be gone before they arrive.
Ted and Ruthie aren't coming over tonight. What on earth ever give you that idea?
Russell, honey, you may take my cap and hang it in the hallway, if you please.
Sure, you bet.
You were probably on your way there anyhow.
Yes, I was.
Vic, honey, when interventions of a pressing urgency demand a man's presence on various premises, you might as well liquidate the troublesome details and take the bull by the horns and keep the alternative unbearable.
What on earth are you talking about?
I don't blame you for smiling.
I'm not smiling.
The same old thing, the same old thing.
Just
like I said the other day, if I'm not careful, I said, I'm liable to get caught up in the frenzied floodwaters of activity and be destroyed against the rocks.
What rocks?
All right, we won't require any of that.
Sadie, honey, I'm here to ask a favor.
Oh?
Seems like I'm always doing that anymore.
Well, not at all. Is it in connection with your landlady getting married?
More details, Sadie, honey. More details and still more details. And they all fall on my shoulders. You hung up my cap in the hallway early, Russell?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Not at all.
He hung up my cap in the hallway.
Well?
It's things like that a man don't soon forget.
Oh, that's...
When a man is as busy as I am, when a man hasn't got one single lame brain minute he can call his own, that man appreciates the little kindnesses, the small thoughtfulnesses, and the insignificant interventions that make the alternative unbearable. I know, Vic, it does have its funny side.
Well, what's the favor you want to ask, Uncle Fletcher?
What time are you expecting your company?
We're not expecting any company.
It's Ted and Ruthie Stumbottom I'm referring to.
They're not coming over tonight. I believe they're taking in the picture show tonight.
They'll enjoy that.
Oh, I hope so.
Ted and Ruthie will enjoy that. They'll derive considerable recreation from the picture show.
Mm.
And it gives us time to discuss this matter concerning Mrs. Leota Keller's approaching bridegroom, Mr. Harry Thedburn.
What's new with him?
Grown ups will handle this, Russell.
Mr. Harry Thedburn, Leota Keller's approaching bridegroom, wrote me a letter, which arrived in the afternoon mail, which stated he would like to have me go to the jewelry store and purchase a ring.
Well.
They got no jewelry stores in Yellow Jump, North Dakota.
Oh,
I am instructed to purchase the ring, leave it in the jeweler's possession, and Thedburn will pick it up and pay for it when he arrives for the wedding.
Yes, sure.
Perhaps, Sadie, honey, you can anticipate the reasons that prompted me to intrude in an unceremonious fashion when I was aware you expected company. Perhaps you can anticipate the reasons...
It made the alternative unbearable.
Beg pardon, Miss Honey?
I was just following your thoughts. I said perhaps Sadie could anticipate the reasons that made the alternative unbearable.
Exactly.
Clear as crystal.
Well, I know what he means. You better watch your step, mister. You want me to help you pick out the ring, Uncle Fletcher, isn't that it?
Yes.
I'll be delighted to.
Woman's jewelry is trash I don't know a good deal about.
Well, no, of course not.
Horses, I understand. Tractors, I understand. Peanut machines I can take apart and put together blindfold. I can shim up a railroad track and install ankle bolts and solder grips as quick as any man in the business. But woman's jewelry, there's where I knuckle down and whinny like a weasel.
Well, shall we make a date, you and me? How about tomorrow? Tomorrow, Saturday, we could...
See how everything gets thrown in my lap? I buy the nitwit ring. I engage the numbskull preacher. I act in the capacity of lame-brained best man. I even climb on the train by myself and visit Champaign, Urbana, Clinton, Springfield, and Iliopolis in order to take a fathead honeymoon for the happy couple.
Yes, does look like you're pretty much handling the whole affair.
If I don't watch myself, I'm liable to get caught up in the frenzied floodgates of activity and be destroyed against the rocks.
We must remember to go down to the Interurban Station and throw old shoes at you when you go on your honeymoon.
Yes, about the size of it. I wouldn't be surprised if what that happens. I'll be down there climbing on the train to visit Champaign, Urbana, Clinton, Springfield, and Iliopolis, and the half-wit, lame, brain, numbskull crowd will shy old shoes at me. Thunder, I've been so busy the last few weeks working on this flathead marriage, about three-fourths of the chaps that loaf down in the courthouse yard think I'm the feeble-minded bridegroom.
Is that a fact?
Sure, that's a fact.
Well, how about tomorrow, Uncle Fletcher? I'm going to be downtown anyway with Ruthie, and if you'd like to meet me somewhere, we could...
I'm even going to purchase Harry Thedburn a suit of clothes.
I bet you're
going to
purchase...
I am going to purchase Mrs. Leota Keller's approaching husband, Mr. Harry Thedburn, a suit of clothes.
To get married, did?
To get married,
Well, is Mr. Thedburn...
General store there in Yellow Jump, North Dakota, don't carry a line of fashionable gents' apparel. They deal more in overshoes and work pants. In his letter, which arrived this afternoon, Harry Thedburn asked me to pick out a neat pepper and salt suit of good quality to be married in. More worries.
Molly Clark loves to tell about the time his father got
in... Grant this favor then, Sadie, honey.
Happy to.
Fetch me my cap, Russell, please.
Sure.
I left it in the hallway there.
I left it in the hallway there.
We'll meet downtown tomorrow afternoon, then. Picked out a ring for Mr. Fever.
We can verify the matter over the telephone.
Well, why not verify it right now? Suppose we meet in Hamilton.
I prefer to verify the matter over the telephone. That's the business-like way. Vic, honey, once again, I apologize for the intrusion.
Okay.
Your company, I guess, Sadie, will arrive any minute now.
We're not expecting any company.
Give Ruth and Teddy my very best regards.
All right.
Tell them that when I'm free from the million and one details connected with my landlady getting married, I hope to renew our pleasant friendship.
All right.
You fetch my cap, early,
Thank
you.
Not at all.
You fetch me my cap from the hallway.
Oh, he's the greatest boy on the face of the earth.
When a man is as busy as I am, when a man hasn't got one single lame brain minute he can call his own, that man appreciates the little kindnesses, the small thoughtfulnesses, and the insignificant interventions that make the alternative unbearable.
No doubt about it.
You'll convey my warmest regards to Ted and Ruthie when we arrive.
Yeah.
Sage, Russell, Becky, honey. I'm leaving you now. Goodbye.